Welcome, everyone, to another edition of Come Out Roundtable on KAD Radio. This is Manuel Warrior Sanchez. I'll be joined by our CEO, Ryan Zumalt, as well as the founder of the Warrior Institute, Joseph Marshall, and the Captain Splash himself, Mr. Ramon Mullins. He works at Warrior Institute and expert. Today, we're going to be talking about river and water safety, as well as some of the programs that Warrior Institute has out there, not only on the safety side, but also on the health-based side of their programs. So, welcome, gentlemen. Thank you guys for coming in today. How are you?
Good. Doing great. Pleasure to be here, Warrior. Thank you.
Yeah, so it must be nice for you guys in this type of time of year. It's all about water, right? You guys do a lot of rafting trips. Just talk about some of the programs that you guys just got finished doing, and then we'll get into what the meat of today's topic, all right? So the last couple of weeks, you guys have did water lifeguard training and water swift water training, right? Yep. So let's get into that.
River guide training. Yeah, I'll take that one. So we were blessed this year to get some resources from the Klamath Funds to do a guide school. So we did one guide school for the adults, which we had about 20 participants. We partnered with Six Rivers up on the Big Flat section and ran Class 3 Plus, and we were able to take a group through for 5 days, getting them totally dialed up on how to navigate the river and be experts. So we got to do local all the local natives in the area, all the way up from Talawa, from the coast to Hoopa, and up in Kuluk country. So that was a real blessed to do that. And then last week, the week in between that, Kelly here in Hoopa, we were able to sponsor 8 youth to do a lifeguard certification training. So we had 8, not all youth, there are some adults as well. So that went really well. Kelly did a great job. And then this past week was excellent. We got to do 14 youth from all around this area to do a youth guide school. So and everybody did excellent. It was better than we can imagine. There was the aspect of getting them on the river every day for about 8 hours, but every morning we worked on nutrition. Every day we trained our physical, spiritual minds, and then every evening we got to dip in some of the side creeks and sit around a fire and share stories. So it was real.
So you're living the life then?
It's a good life. It's a good life.
That's what it sounds like. That sounds like a good time. Yeah. So Joe, the Warrior Institute has been a mainstay in this community for better part of a decade, mm-hmm. right? And it stems around, obviously, looking at the health of our people, right? Giving them a place where they can come and work out and do these things at your institute. We're utilizing the rodeo grounds now. So health and safety are a big part of what it is you provide. So I like the idea we're going to be talking about today. So why venture into the water side of it, if you don't mind?
Well, kind of got involved. There was a lack of paddlers, and we was down at Medilden there with the old poor old Glenn. Had the canoes out and was out there paddling. Uh-huh. And so got involved with paddling part of that. And then I was able to do the Warrior Camp 2011 when I first kind of started the Warrior Institute. Uh-huh. And one of the first things we did was a raft trip, and then kind of got connected in there and just seen that was a great part, because I started with the CrossFit and the training. Yeah. But then right immediately as we kind of started that, the river was part of that. And that was kind of part of the river stewardship and just like river people. And just, it just needed to happen more, like needed to be more on the river, kind of like
Evolution mm-hmm. of your services.
Yeah.
You're seeing that the river is part of the health of the valley and the people. Mm-hmm. So you need that, then it's good that you integrated that into your type of program. Because one of the things we talk about here before we get on the air was water safety, right? Yeah. That's one of the things we kind of take for granted here, because a lot of us have been on this water, swimming in this since we were younger. Like mm-hmm. a lot of us were thrown in at a young mm-hmm. age, and we learned to swim when we were 5, 6 mm-hmm. years old, right? Mm-hmm. But accidents still happen. Things still happen. And mm-hmm. one of the things we talked about, water safety isn't just on the water, it's off the water too. So a lot of accidents happen when there are stimulants involved, right? You know, like alcohol, you know, any other drugs. It could cause people to be more brave than they normally would, mm-hmm. right? And so what do you recommend for those type of things? Like, obviously people are... We can't stop them from doing those mm-hmm. things. So what can you do to be more cautious?
Well, all of our trips are drug and alcohol free. So, you know, like I just kind of take that out of the equation. But we run a safety talk and just the being have the right equipment, just wearing a PFD, put it on correctly, well, just not 90-something percent of
PSD is a personnel safety
device, personal device. Flotation device,
life jacket,
life jacket. They call it. Some people don't like to call that, but that's what most people call it. But yeah, having the right safety equipment, doing safety talks, having guys that are on it, and so far we've been pretty good, you know, with the river safety.
You know, I remember a couple of years ago there were people that did your course, and there was they actually saved someone's life. There was like they did like CPR and training and pulled someone out of the water. They were talking about that. I was like, well, where'd you learn that? Oh, with Joe. I was doing with Joe, and you know, we're learning these things. And so these types of classes and things you're doing are already benefiting. You save someone's life, and the ripple effect that person has because of one class that you had. Yeah. Now that person is able to grow. That person is able to flourish in life. And then now they're able to maybe have children of their own. And that wouldn't have happened for these courses. So that's important.
Yeah,
so,
we've had about 4 or 5 guide schools. So over 30 people, like youth and community members that we've trained over the last, since 2011.
Yeah, it's a long time.
Yeah.
Wow. What's the average age of most of the students that are coming through on your guys' guide school program?
Well, this last
mainly
one
later
was,
teens?
No, yeah, this last one was 16 and 19.
Wow.
So the average probably, or median age was probably 17 and a half. So this is the youth guide school. And the adult guide school, we had ranged all the way up from I'd say mid-40s to 22. So yeah, we had a good, 21 was good range in that one.
Yeah, I did that guide school back in the early aughts. Late 90s, early aughts, when my uncle Chucky's Fish On Rafting, I was a guide. And that was the funnest summers I've ever had before I moved away. Just reading the river, knowing where the currents are, going to the V. We always learn to go in the V, you
stay
know.
Out of the sea and go
to
the V.
Yeah, go in the V. Yeah, exactly. You know the V is, Ryan?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, good. Just in case. You know?
I got it in the rivers, too.
Yeah. I want you to be safe, too, Ryan. You know. But that's important, right? Know your water, know your river, because there are people here that won't go swimming in places they're not familiar with, which is fine because they're safe, right? And we're always told if you're going to a place where you're not familiar, don't just dive right in, right? You almost got to wade in to see, you know, check for what's on the ground. There might be stuff like debris underwater you're not seeing. So you got to be safe, right? There's a lot of tips that we need.
Well, most of the currents you don't see. They're under the water. So a lot of people are looking at the top. And you can read decently, but a lot of people don't realize what's going on under the water with the rocks and the energy. So like you're saying, but kind of what this guide school and what we were talking a little bit about earlier is it's really about developing competence. You know, and then that's really what we want to develop, where individuals can see situations that are dangerous. And even if they get in a bad situation, they can get themselves out. So those are kind of the things that we'd like to do instead of lowering the level, like saying nobody go in the river and nobody can swim. That might not be realistic, you know. And sometimes individuals, like we're saying, might be inebriated. But if there's somebody on the beach that can identify that as a dangerous situation, they can also prepare or hopefully save those individuals if they have the skill set.
So. Yeah,
I think that... That actually leads right into where I was always trained. I grew up on more under the Sacramento River is you don't swim alone. I mean, there's still those currents, especially in your throws, a few things like that. It was always have someone with you because we'd float the river all the time. There, it makes sense.
Yeah.
I think that's one of the things we're looking at here, right, is sometimes you get overconfident. We talk about confidence and your ability and all these things. I've seen people that were overconfident, you know, oh, no, I can handle this. And they're trying to swim across the current. They're trying to swim river instead of, and they always end up fighting it. And then that just tires you out.
Yeah.
You know,
those are big dangers, like you say. It's like the overconfidence. You're saying, you know, the water, swimming alone. Those are some of the like the basics that you want to just always have. Always have a safety plan, or you know, have somebody there who's solid. But kind of going on that same level of thought. I grew up in Hawaii, so we use a lot of currents, and even when I was a young age and you'd see people get caught in riptides, and the river works a lot like that. So one of those important things is a lot of people will start to panic and wanting to paddle into the river, into the current, and they'll tire themselves out within seconds and they'll begin into a state of panic. And then we brought it up, but one of my number one rules, and anybody who's gone on a raft trip, we've taken thousands of youth and people down the river in this area, is number one rule is don't panic. And that's one thing I'd like to share is like, I've seen it at Kim 2 probably last year, pulled 6 people out of the river with
just
a boogie
yourself.
Board, just myself. And that's just being there, you know, 3 days a week and seeing that happen. And I always bring a boogie board with me now because you can see it happening before it happens. You can see the level that they're at swimming. Then you can see them trying to come. And then you can see the panic go into their eyes.
Yeah. I was just going to say, you can see it in their eyes.
And sometimes, you know, we'll be quick to it. And even sometimes my boys will point it out there. You know, I had a son that went through the guide school. They see these things now. So having those individuals around that are competent. And then also, you know, I bring a boogie board, not for me, but I do just for that reason. A lot of times just, you know, and a lot of times I can see it. People get embarrassed. I want to put this out because the last person we pulled out was actually embarrassed that they couldn't do it. And I just saw them go down and I counted 1, 2, 3. And then I was like, that person's not coming back up.
Yeah.
And that is how spooky it can be sometimes. And that's how it happens. You can have 100 people at the beach, but if that person goes down, they're not going to scream. They're not going to
kick. It's not always the splashing.
No.
You know, that's a misnomer. It's a misnomer. It's not like, help me. No, it's like, maybe they don't say anything because they're embarrassed, right? Yeah. And they try to do it themselves. And then they say, and then it's like a weight pulling you down.
Exactly.
So the water is a humbling experience. You know, every time somebody starts getting too boastful about the water, like, oh no, like it will humble you real quick. But also, that's part of the attraction too, is some of the risk. And it's just, I learned about calculated risk when you're guiding. You have to say, okay, there's danger here, where to avoid. Also, was part of like a lot of class 4, class 5 rapids around here. It's world class in our area.
Yeah.
And so that type of level, you know, you're on high attention, and all those skills come into play on the rules you should follow on the river.
Yeah.
But also that's kind of what young men and young people are looking for, is a little bit of risk. And I feel it's like a positive risk out there, you know?
Yeah.
As long as you follow the rules.
It's adrenaline rush. Don't get me wrong. Yeah. Hey, yeah. You know, as a former guide, we used to do the run, up there all the way to before the gorge. We never did the gorge run.
Mm-hmm.
Have you guys ever done that one?
The Burnt Ranch Gorge.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I've always wanted to do that, but we never had a chance.
Oh,
yeah.
We're getting you out there, Warrior.
Oh, let's do it. I'm experienced, right?
Yeah.
I wear a damn helmet. Pardon my language.
You have to wear shin guards, knee guards, sharp rocks, big canyons.
Yeah,
like you're getting knocked over.
There's a lot of debris too.
Yeah,
you know, it's a lot of tree debris.
But it's also world class too. Like the world class, you know, rafting races will be there someday.
Yeah. No, it's amazing. You ever been through there, Ryan?
I've seen it. I have not gone through that one yet.
Oh no, I've seen video because I've seen someone did a drone run through there, and there was.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
1, 2, 3, Burnt Ranch Falls. There's a lot of incredible runs. It's an incredible run. It's beautiful. You come out the New River, Denny at the end to kind of have lunch there, and it's special. Yeah.
And it is, whoo.
But that's kind of what Joe was kind of getting at, and where we kind of started the river program too, was on that same aspect, that our youth and all of us, sometimes we need to have that little bit of push and that courage, and how do you develop that in a healthy way? And using the water as a way to be courageous, but also with competence and skill that we can do those things.
Also, reading the old stories too, they used to jump into certain water, swift water, test themselves, kind of that warrior spirit. So that's kind of how I was. And the Yuroks have a word called like West Calais. It's like water courage.
Okay.
So it's like,
that's good. West Calais.
Yeah. So it's kind of, that's what I was kind of see sometimes, because there's a little taboo about getting in the water a certain time. But when you're rafting class 4 or 5, that's in the middle of winter and the river's brown, and you know what I mean? So most people are like, well, that's kind of like not go there. But with proper training and proper gear, you know what I mean? It's doable.
Yeah. And having, you know, people like yourselves there, experts in the field is a big deal, right?
Yeah.
But when, most of the time when people are swimming, they're not going to have experts, people that went through CPR guide training.
Yeah.
And so we almost need to have like tips that we can send out to the community. That's kind of like what we're talking about here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So like if people are swimming alone, what tips would you provide them for swimming, not alone, but like swimming without experts, if you will. If it's just me and my kids are down at the river, right? And I'm just a random Joe who didn't have whitewater training or CPR.
Yeah.
What is it that we need to look out for? What would your tips be for these people?
I mean, number one is know your area. I mean, that's the thing too. Some spots you go to, big rock, there's nice big eddies where the kids can play in shallow water and it's real safe, you know. Mm-hmm. But if you get in other spots, you know, even at the bottom of Tishtang and stuff, or up at the top of Tishtang, there's a decent current, even where you park your car, right where at the very front. So if you're not paying attention to your little one, they can get swept down and down those rocks pretty quick. So, you know your spot, pick a safe spot. You know, that's like, I'd say number one would be the first thing.
Yeah.
And then two, you know, it's not, we talked about it, and I know, I mean, even me, you know, growing up in certain places, feeling like I'm very confident, the life jacket thing. But anytime I do a trip, I always have my life jacket. So the right safety gear, having a life jacket on a child, if it's almost hard. You couldn't drown him if you want to. Sorry to say. And that's kind of another aspect is like.
Actually, I think Ramon, you and I were talking about it. Even when my boys were little, their life jackets have that little flap on the back of their head on their. You used to tie a little string to that and onto the boat. If one fell over, you just reel them back in.
You know how many times we'd yank people out from their life jackets, you know, when I was guiding? You know, pulling them in, pulling them out.
My thing, though, is like. Like earlier in the year, especially swimming across the river, I think that's where a lot of danger is. Most of the time, taking a dip right close to the bank is not too bad. Like you, like sometimes in the middle of winter, like to jump into cold water, but like ain't trying to swim across. You know what I mean? But you know, I mean, jumping. I feel like there's a difference between trying to actually swim in the river versus like getting, you know, emerging yourself, getting wet.
Like I'm just here to cool off. I'm just trying to cool off. I'm not trying to go swimming or try to push myself. But I think one of the things we talk about is people like showing off this time of year. You know, I see some girls down there swimming. I'm going to think I'm a big bad and I'm going to do something. And then I'm embarrassed because then I'm going to start, you know, breathing water. I'm drowning, you know. So one of the things that I love about this area is, you know, we're swimming in the river. You get like a lot of experience swimming, right? And now Hoopa High is having a swim team, which I'm all for. One, because if we're training in the river with currents, that pool's going to be nothing. You know, we should be wiping those fools out on the coast. I'm just kidding. you know, because they're training in a pool and we're training with current. And you see a lot of, they have those internal pools that have currents in them that swimmers train in.
Well, yeah, big shout out to Kelly and Inker for getting that program started in the pool. But she's been on fire. You know, Kelly with, she did the lifeguard training as well, but getting the swim school. But that's kind of what I, you know, how I feel about all of it. And what we're doing is life's going to bring a lot of crazy stuff at you. And we never know what the current or how the river is going to react. But if I can prepare young people or prepare even myself and older people to deal with stress and deal with the hard times and deal with the river, I feel like it has a lot to do with what we want to do.
I think it's a learning lesson, right? These are life lessons you're teaching
completely.
Kids.
Is
be prepared. Be prepared for anything. Danger is out there. If you're confident in yourself, things could still happen regardless. You could hurt your ankle. You could hit your head on a rock that you didn't know was there, or get your leg caught in a stump.
It's all happened. Those aren't things. It's almost guaranteed. It's going to happen at some time in life.
There was some a couple of years ago end up drowning because their foot got stuck under a debris.
It's foot entrapment. And that's another thing. And that's another thing, like Joe was talking about, a lot of these people with doing trips and getting people on the river, they always get a safety talk. And everyone that we've done a safe talk knows what a foot entrapment is. It knows what a strainer is. And then, so there's a big educational spot where some people have.
So what are those for the people out there that don't know?
So a strainer or a foot entrapment?
Both of them.
So a foot entrapment is when you're going in the river, and a lot of people, their first instinct is to stand up sometimes in a real swift current. They're trying to stand up. But if the current is really swift, when they go to stand up, their foot can get caught in a branch, can get caught under a rock. And what happens is the current will hold them down in the water while their foot is stuck. So a lot of times what we recommend when you are going down swift current, nose up, toes up. So even if you don't have a life jacket on, nose up, toes up, even if it's maybe 6 foot, you'll float right on the top and you keep your feet a little in front of you in case there's a rock trying to sneak up on you.
That's what we learned too. And it's like, and your butt is your defense, right? If you're going to hit anything, hit off your gluteus maximus. That is your
butt and your heels. Your feet about 6 inches below your butt because nobody wants to get that intimate with the river.
I have once and it's never called me back. But these are great things to learn. This is a great thing because people will float, right? People will body float this time of year. You know, they will float down. So knowing these things, you hear what they said, folks, toes up. Nose up, toes up.
Yeah.
You know, that's important because I've seen people when I've floated down, no raft. They're just floating down the river. I'm like, are you crazy? And I'm doing it. They're diving around, like look like otters and all these things. But, you know, having that and knowing those skills are important. Because sometimes you will fall off your raft.
Most of the time you should. If it's a good trip, you should flip.
That's a good one. But that's true, though. And know how, if you do flip, how to do it. Make sure you know where you're at. Look around for danger. And now, what was the other one you said you the, talked about? You said
strainer.
The strainer.
Strainer. Yeah, yeah, the strainer. So a strainer is, you know, and usually they're pretty good about this area, you know, and even us as rafters, we'll go down, we'll clear out strainers. So strainers, if a tree or debris are meeting up on a section of the river where the current's coming through, so the water is going through it. So it's, but the debris, it's only, you know, maybe 6 inches to a foot. So the water can get through, but nothing else can. So when you're, if you fall into the water and you're going down and you get stuck in a strainer, you actually get pinned, like you're getting strained.
Yeah.
So a lot of people will be pinned either underwater because it can, the strainers can be on like a big root ball or trees, you know, stacks. So those are a strainer. Mm-hmm. And those are something you just want to stay away from. But a lot of times, if we're going through, like we removed one from up on a big on the big flat run last year, that was a strainer. And a lot of times what, you know, that's what, you know, as river warriors or river guides, you go and you clear that stuff out because it's just too dangerous.
So that's someone else's life. Your crew might be fine.
Yeah.
But someone coming down next weekend might not know about that, see it. And, you know, and again, these things are lives being saved just by knowledge, right? Mm-hmm. And that's one of the things we talk about.
Competence. Yeah. Get confidence. Everybody competent. Seeing the dangers before they become a danger is huge.
And also it's good starting them out younger. Ramon's pretty good at starting them out. And then when they're jumping off rocks and stuff, you start as a younger person and you evolve into it. You know, you kind of get that if you wait later. Because what happens nowadays with all this risk is that we have programs that won't go on the water. We like our kids won't be allowed to go to the water because of the liability. But this is what we're trying to do with the training and get people more acclimated and know these safety techniques.
Yeah, because there's a lot of schools. Oh, sorry, Ryan, let me cut you off. That will only go swim at the pool.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. At the pool. Not open, then we're not going swimming.
My biggest one is Warrior Camp, Acorn Camp. They don't go on the river,
and they're right there at the river. They're camping on the river.
Yeah, that's the hardest thing to see.
It's the liability. And we partnered with Inker and Kelly, KMC did last year to help expand a lot of the swim practice. And ever since then, you're right, all the classes are booked solid, but we can't get in the river. It's the liability on there, which I grew up in there. That's one of the best places for experience.
Yeah, and that's kind of, I guess, where we're coming in now. Because even with this last guide school one, and every youth that we take, they get an intro into river safety every single time. That's kind of what the Warrior Institute and taking people on the river about is our education, you know, getting familiar. And then, you know, like the skill set, like one of our favorite things to do is, you know, I do like to take the youth, and now I've been teaching adults to jump and how to the different jumps on rocks, how to land safety. But when, like, I see people being safe and comfortable in the water, they don't panic. And that's usually 90% of our issues is the panic. Like when they're confident and comfortable, not overconfident, but it's just a different relationship. They can handle it.
And that's what people need to realize. Just if you're getting tired, float. Mm-hmm. You know, that's what I tell my kids. Like if you're in this current, you're hitting the current, you're getting tired, that's what floating's for. You know, the water, it's going to end up in shallow water eventually, right? And so like even if you have to float down, you know, you know, like you said, nose up, toes up, right? Float if you need to. Mm-hmm. You know, don't worry yourself and fight in the current. Because I had one of my kids when they were younger, she got caught in a little current, ran down at Fishon. It flew right off, and she was trying to swim back to it. We're like, no, just float down, babe. I'll catch you right down here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just don't fight it. Just go with it, and then we'll grab you down here. And she's like, okay. And, you know, then she did it, and she was freaked out, and it took her like a summer to get back in the water because she got scared from that.
Mm-hmm.
And that happens. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
You get scared and now you become like water hesitant.
Yeah.
Well, one of the things I've noticed that's very different, and I've fished the Trinity throughout the years, but the Sacramento and the other rivers around here are not quite the same where they'll pulse the river, the change the flows, you know, week to week, where in the Sac, it's a big river. They'll give you an announcement and they might change it for a week once out of the summer. So how do you guys look at navigating that when it comes to river safety? I jump in today, it's okay. Next day I come and it's 6 inches higher and swifter.
So yeah, average is probably, the training, someone could correct me, but probably, you know, at the high flows, it'll be 6,000 to 8,000 CFS, you know, and then at the end of the year, they're releasing 450, you know, so that's what we see. And that could probably look easily like a 8-foot drop.
Wow.
From the higher water down to what will be lower in September-ish, you know, October-ish time.
Yeah, it does drop quite a bit by the end of the year.
But everything changes. Yeah. So, you know, like the features. So what might not be a strainer, you know, for the first 3 months.
Because you're floating over it.
You're floating over it. All of a sudden, you're 8 feet down, and then there's something stuck down there, and there's a danger. So, I'm sounding like the broken record, but it is just competence. That's the only solution I can think of. You know, keeping people out of the water, I don't think, and putting fear around it, I think almost.
No, don't fear the water.
Is it damaging? Because I think water is life, and I think The little I know for in growing up in Hawaii, that water was everything. You know, there were ocean people, were water people, and that's where we got, you know, from the spirit to the mind to recreation to when I'm feeling stressed, going in the water instant.
No, I'm with you on that, Ramon. There are times like when I need to release anything, like if it's whatever. Well, I was always taught go to the water, let it go with the current. Like we'll put like we always taught like if you get, burn your mahachohol in or your root. And then we'll throw it on a so this ties into a story. My sister had a family member who was really sick down in the Bay Area, like in a hospital. She was younger. My uncle, he went down. We went down to the San Francisco Bay. We went down below the Golden Gate, you know, where it meets the bay, meets the ocean. Found some driftwood down there. We went down there, and he sang a song. We burned some root, and he put the root on the driftwood, and he put it out into the ocean. Right. And then it took it away. And it might not have been, maybe it's just symbolic, but it made us all feel good. It made it feel like we're doing something. Now, the next day, my sister was eval. She was moved from the ICU to another room. Maybe it was that. Maybe it was just coincidence. But you always want to believe that, right? We always believe that we're tied to that water. Mm. Water is who we are, regardless if it's the ocean or the river or creeks. Water is who we are as Native people. We're tied to that, like in Hawaii. And there's some semblance to that. And it's important to who we are.
Yeah, I believe.
You have to believe, right? My mom always said, be a believer, son. Yeah. My grandma always said, believe in your own medicine. You believe in that. Believe in yourself. Mm-hmm. Talk about being your own confidence. It's important on the water.
So before we jump into the takeaways, as we're getting close to time on this one, how if I wanted to sign up to learn more about the river on that and be on one of the rafting, where would I go?
Yeah, the website. Joe's got a website now.
Yeah, there's a website. But there's also like the local companies that do river like rafting guide schools. Is that what you're kind of talking about?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, guide schools. Either a guide or be able to go along to understand it more.
It was such a success this year that we're definitely going to want to do a guide school. We might do an all women's guide school, you know, just to offer that out. So to safety and just comfort. And then I think we'll definitely do another youth and adult guide school next year in the springtime.
Well, good.
You know, so
That's a good time.
And then Joe has is it Warrior Institute Rafting? So he's got that and kind of getting that going. And you know, we do most of our trips are for Save the Salmon, and we're kind of not booked up, but we really want to focus on local and the people here.
You guys have kayaks or just rafts?
We have inflatable kayaks and stand-up paddle boards.
Okay.
And they make the class 2 water pretty fun.
It does make it fun.
Oh yeah.
Kayaking is fun. I love kayaking.
Yeah, we have them all. Joe's done an incredible job on getting all the best stuff.
You guys do kayak training courses, like people that haven't done kayaking that will maybe want to try it and they come see you?
Not so much. We wanted to get into that, but with the Rios to Rivers program and the Tribal Paddle Waters, they've trained a lot of local people with the kayaking, and so we're looking to like hire them up as safety kayakers, and then also we're trying to cross them over to some rubber pushing where they're doing the rafting, so then they have the skills on the guide for guiding and gearing both, but also they could jump on a hard shell and be part of the raft trip, and it's more safety.
Canoeing is fun. I remember as a kid, we would practice during, we had our canoe, we'd down at Fish On, but mainly it was during rest day, during our ceremonies, when we used to actually go up to the rest day when we had a beach up there at Mill Creek. And just taking that canoe and just spinning it around, those things can fly up the current. It is so amazing. Yeah. And the experiences that I have and jumping off of those into the water and just like pulling it up I want our kids to see that, right? There needs to be a tie-in to the cultural side of it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. River canoes are like Cadillacs on the river. It really is. And they glide.
You ever been on a canoe ride?
I have.
Yeah.
I have.
A traditional canoe.
Not traditional, regular canoe, but they do still move up the currents pretty well.
Yeah. Not, you know, that's fine. That's like you're driving your Pinto, and we got a Lambo sitting over here. There's a difference.
It's classic. Yeah. It's classic.
They both get you where you need to go.
Yeah.
But one feels, one's a little better to be behind the wheel. But no, I'm just teasing you. But these are important things we're going over. So thank you, Joe. Thank you, Ramon, for you guys coming today, and for Ryan Zumal and Kamau Medical Center. Thank you guys for listening. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, Warrior. Have a great day.